Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. And hello, everyone. Welcome. This is Andrew Fetter with When Pigs Fly, and I want to thank you all for listening in. This is a very special show for me because, and I just told my producer, he didn't realize it, this is my 5-year anniversary. Gee, can't believe 5 years goes by so fast. It's interesting, the reason, and on the subject I picked was perfectly set for, I guess, everything has a reason, right? For the show, when I look at it as karma, karma for me being the show, karma for meeting all the things I have encountering and doing this show for 5 years. Hopefully we'll do, I'll be doing another 5 years. They just told me they're maybe doing some new product stuff, like we might be actually being viewed like TV-wise stream across, like actually monitor, which would be extraordinary. So then you can actually see me describe things and draw things, and you know, it actually would be really cool. I want to, again, thank everybody for listening. Well, that was, by the way, the song was from Ruby Friedman, Shooting Stars. I've had her a few years back on my show. I've had a lot of artists. This coming year, I plan to have a lot of other selective guests. I put that in, I'm very selective. It's sort of funny because some people have been asking me to come on my show routinely. And I, like I said, I'm really, really selective on who I have on my show, because I feel who I have has to have something very informative to bring into listeners, and not just for selling their item, but I feel something that's imperative for you to see, to listen in. So, nonetheless, that's what I had felt was imperative. And I've had like a recent guest, for example, thinking about coming on my show, and I go, "Hey, send me your books." I mean, they want some people. No, I want to, I'm doing not a service. It's not me. So I feel I'm just a bridge, a door. But I feel there's information that's, when I transpose it, or from me or from somebody else, I think it's indicative to do this in a very enlightened way to. And not just for the monies of it, or you know what I get for it. You understand? I think that's what I try to do in my show as much as possible. I know I do promotions like my book and things like that, but more or less, even though there's everybody, there has to be some substance in the society we live in to pay for certain things. But that is not the objective. If that's the objective, then that's not what I try to do within the show. I've never actually, I look back, I've never actually advertised, allowed things go word of mouth, and I look back and maybe had a few listeners, and then it just multiplied where now I have an extraordinary large range of listeners from all around, all continents, from Europe to Middle East to South America, Asia. Even Africa, Polynesians, Philippines, Far East, Australia. I mean, it's amazing. And I'm real thankful for having all these listeners, and even the comments and feedback. So with that, I want to thank everybody once again, and for the 5 years, it's been a real honor to have been part of this, to do this. And also I want to thank BBS Radio for doing this. And give me this opportunity, which was really actually transmonded. And I know I'm getting into this a little before getting into the subject, but I feel it's important to say this. So I think it's because it's certain things have a reason to happen, and it's part of karma. But again, I want to thank them for having me on. And it all came out because of my first book that came out, When the Angels Have Risen. And I was doing my, like all authors do, they do their radio tours and stuff like that. And I remember being interviewed by several hosts, and one distinguished one, and then BBS Radio offered me to do my own show. So that's how that sort of happened. Anyway, nonetheless, I mean, we always grow within our shows, and we always grow and learn. That's one thing I feel about, one thing I've had understanding with doing this, my radio show here, is as you learn, I learn. And that's why I'm really highly selective who I have on, because I can get anybody just regurgitate information, and, you know, that's not going to help anything. I always like to get something different or new or something of interest. Even if I feel it's interest for me, then I know it's going to be interest for you. If it's not, then you know, then it gets boring, you know what I mean? And it's not of expanding our horizons, so to speak. Give me 1 second here. I have to do something. apologize. Anyway, I just recently moved, and I actually forgot I was going to bring something out that I thought was pretty important to discuss on some issues and some things that I thought was pretty important that I'm going to add into what I was going to talk about. I'm like, oh, I forgot to bring that with me. Luckily, where I live, it almost feels like I'm living in like a studio, like part of my frame where I'm talking now, sort of like a studio where I'm talking to you. So also, where I can play my some music, play my bass and drawings, and it's pretty weird. Different than where I used to live. Seems like I've gone back. Talk about karma. Now I've moved back to where I grew up. I was just explaining that to my producer, and I know some close friends of mine have recently started doing that. So I often wonder if there's a karmic reason or a reason behind that. And that's what I'm going to start getting into. Now, I know a lot of people, we all use it. What the hell is karma? Karma, it's all about karma. What's your karma? And we use that phrase a lot. And I know a lot of people who are associated in spirituality consistently use it and talk about it. And they use it in such a broad-stroking way without its true definition of what it really is. And I think it's important to understand what karma is from a very foundational understanding of it. Because once you see and have that understanding, then you can sort of see what how it's properly to be utilized and why it is such an important thing. And instead of just carefully using that word and understanding what it is. Anyway, what is really karma? You know, in generations of peoples to peoples, there's been karma. You know, the old story of the Hatfield-McCoy, for example, feud, that's karma. You know, or families against families, you know, that famous thing. Individuals against individuals, that's sort of a very much karmic events. You know, groups of peoples who, for thousands of years, who are even hundreds of years, or not even that long, and there's consistently a conflict that, or a cycle of conflicts. There's karma reasoning behind that, and I'll explain. And it's always been the us versus them, and that when that mentality continues, that's part of the karma issue. This is going on from peoples of peoples, like I said, from every land. I can just go down them. People to people have been in a constant feud. Some have, though, been resolved, and others never, or seem never to be resolved. And the question is, why aren't they being resolved? There's always been struggles of between families and within families, and why? There's always been struggles between lovers and friends and, of course, perceived foes. And did I say perceived foes? And the question is, again, why? Is it karma? Like I said, I've often heard many say we live in a duality of our perceived reality, and that's actually totally incorrect. That would imply there's a separation in our reality, and there is not. There's absolutely no separation. Everything's connected, even the multi-universe in reality. Truth is, there's no such thing as separation. There's absolutely no separation. It's your perception, your perceived assumption that we're separated. So, in reality, there is no such thing as duality. I mean, I hear that, and every time I have to roll my eyes and I have to waste it, there is no such thing as duality. Duality would mean things move out in parallel, not and they're linked to each other. You know what I'm saying? And that's why that's totally incorrect. All things are linked together. In fact, the correct word would be used is symbiosis, or we live in a symbiotic relationship of all things, meaning that we're interacted in all things. And I'll explain this later, but keep that in mind. Everything is in a symbiotic relationship. Everything is reacting in unison with each other. It's like cells in the body. We ourselves, within ourselves, with other people, are like within a body of a body. That's why the earth is considered like it's like an organism. What's an organism? It's made of a bunch of cells working in a symbiotic relationship. Well, if essentially we're in a system. We breathe, we eat. You know, what happens to our bodies physically, but also the same thing spiritually. We're connected. This is in reality. You know, this is both in physics and sciences and whatever, and esoterics. We have brought into our eyes thinking there's an assumption of things being separated, but that's not the reality. Assumption of being separated is because we perceive with our organs, our eyes, and that. And those are limited. Our perceptions are limited. But in reality, if you go into things, there's no limitation. Because in reality, the truth, there's no change. Everything is absolutely what it is. So, now, keep that in mind. The symbiotic relationships. And I'll get back to it. Now, back to karma, because that was important. I needed to get that so you have a greater understanding of what I'm going to get into when I get into talking about karma. Karma is created out of what? Actions. And what are we, as I've said often? We are nothing more than what? An action. We're energy. We're an energy that vibrates at a consistent, constant rate that changes and fluctuates. That is always a change, usually. Our frequency that changes, imagine your energy just vibrating, going on, right? Well, you move a higher tone or lower tone. Just like hitting a string to a guitar or bass or whatever, you're like a string, and it's vibrating. And if I put my finger on it and it stops, slows it down, it slows it down, but it's still vibrating. It never really stops because you would cease to exist, and you don't cease to exist. You're always vibrating. All energy moves, even atoms. Nothing is absolute zero. Even at absolute zero, the electrons are still spinning around, right? That's what I'm saying to you. We are still at a frequency of vibration. So, hence being that we're a frequency of energy in a physical and spiritual, these energy systems that are vibrating in a frequency are in a symbiotic relationship. Oh, they are relating to one another. They will affect directly and indirectly to each other. This is how our beings, our souls, interact. When I'm speaking to you right now, and what I'm speaking, what's happening right now, my voice vibrates, my voice box, like hitting each other, and it creates the sound, and the sound is traveling, because it's hitting the wavelengths, right? Bzzz. And now you're here, your ear is listening to it, which is through the intercom of some internet, or whatever, out in space, see? Goes out, reacts. And then you're reacting to it by listening to it. So everything, that's just an example of how there's such a symbiotic relationship, just the energy of it. And that sound wave that I'm making right now affects things in the universe, both indirectly and directly. So we are, in fact, like I said, a constant state of interaction of not only ourselves, but also the universe. This includes other souls as well. As I've mentioned numerous times, in the past and the concept of absolutes. I think I mentioned a absolutes. And there's four of them. And I don't like using the word laws because that's like, oh, it's restrictive and limited. But in realities, in the realms that we live in today, we will always exist in one form or another. That's number one. Number two, we are all connected to each other and all things held within the multi-universe. That's number two. And three, all things change. And lastly, number four, for every action, there is a reaction. Now, the last measure I told you, just mentioned, is the karma. For every action, there is a reaction. Of course, everyone goes, oh, that was Einstein, huh? Wow, he invented it. Actually, it's most esoterics and all this stuff is thousands upon thousands of years even before Einstein's realm, that they understood the action versus reaction elements. I mean, from Greek philosophers to even the famous Taoist masters of China. So it goes back. Some of the esoterics have, like I said, referred, and they constantly refer to this events as karma. And that's what it's really about. The action and the reaction. The karma. But what, again, what is it? It is really, I've heard this from like a Native Americans. They draw this thing. It's pretty fascinating. They look at things like a circle. And the spirituality of a circle, what starts when it comes around full circle. Like the Wheel of Fortune. If you look at the Wheel of Fortune card, that's full circle. And by the way, if you look at the Wheel of Fortune card on tarot, and I actually purposely put it on this thing on my website, you know, for PBS Radio. The reason why is the significance of the wheel of going round and round is part of the karma. But if you look in there, and this is where Kabbalism and tarots, all tarots comes from the elements of Kabbalism. And actually, all the symbols in there is actually more of numbers. If there's number basis, why the cards are what they are. But if you look at where it says in all tarot cards, you'll see an X on that card, meaning, of course, numerically 10. 10 is, in Kabbalism, is a number. It's actually in Hebrew, the letter Yud, which means of things of infinite or perfect, that all things are perfect. It says that the universe and the world is completed with two hands, 5 and 5, meaning of 10, and that the world is absolutely perfect, being 10. That's why it says the Yud in Hebrew, the letter. But being that it's a 10, it's also considered like the circle. The circle of our symbiotic relationships is, in fact, a cause and effect. The yin and yang, if you look at the yin and yang, it's done in a circle. That's what goes around, comes around. Give and take, yin and yang. These symbols have really serves of both subjectively and objectively pointing to those the situations. Our worlds are written as a circle, right? Why? Because what goes around comes around. The worlds are like a wheel. So it's almost like a karmic wheel. They always show cycles within our systems on Earth. In biology, you'll see cycles. Something goes around something. Our Earth goes around the planet, a circle. Gravity rotation is a circle. That's not by coincidence that these circle events occur in our physical realms. How our blood works is basically in a circle. This is the karma. It's the cause and effect. Your heart pumps and pushes blood out into your arteries, goes out through your arteries and all the little cells until it gets toward the capillaries after it's feed its nourishment, right, from its oxygen. And then it returns through the capillaries and then goes back into your veins, and from your veins goes back into your heart to be repumped again. Circle. You breathe in your air, you breathe in, and you're breathing oxygen and breathing out carbon dioxide. It's a circle. All things are relatively in a circle. It's cause and effect. There is, like I said, no duality in anything. Everything is symbiotic. If I breathe in oxygen, I'm now have to release the carbon dioxide. It's a cause and effect. That's not duality. When you see something in your eyes, the eye image is light going out, striking the image, and it's striking back. Cause and effect. When you're listening to me, it's sound, like I mentioned before, cause and effect. But this same thing continues in all aspects of our lives, people we're interacted with. Again, it's the wheel is a circle. It is a cause and effect of all things. Every single thing in the universe is circular based. Everything. That is the point of yin and yang. Give and receive. That is why there's absolutely no such thing as duality. Like the heaven and earth, Qian and Kun, and I Ching. All things are constant interaction. Even the heaven and the earth are interaction. Now, Buddhists and Hindus often called it one thing and by referring to karma, by utilizing the word karma, and Kabbalists use the call Tikkun, which is literally actually more of a corrector way of calling karma, actually. And even some Taoists I've spoken to have, they acknowledge that, and I'll explain that. But like I said, Kabbalists call karma Tikkun. So let me explain. And Tikkun in Hebrew literally means fix or more correctly, redirect. So why is it that being more correct? Because when you're having a karma and you're trying to fix your karma, your like energy vibration, right? You can only increase or decrease your frequency. It's meaning you're going up or down. So if you're fixing it, you're increasing frequency, so you're on that way. That's what they people refer to, you're heading toward the light, because you're actually increasing your frequency. Going to a lower frequency is going toward the light. There's only one way. And by the way, Tao means literally just way. So it's you're on that way. So it means you're literally fixed upon. You're redirecting yourself in the proper way. See, Tikkun is meaning to fix or correctly redirect. It's like something missing. So it's refixing it, moving it. And so it reflects to what the Buddhists and Hindus and Taoists have always said about cleaning up the karma. What the hell I got to clean up? Get the vacuum cleaner? No, it means from lifetime to lifetime. We've always caused actions that are done, thus causing reaction. Some people call them dharma versus karma. There's an action created by the karma, it sort of comes into a vicious cycle, because which is the karma, which is the cause and effect? They all sort of interlinked. It's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? That's sort of like what karma is to some extent. And there's a relative way of cleaning it up, is by, from lifetime to lifetime, we've accumulated so much we do need to clean it. It's like weeds. So this is how in karma it needs to be cleaned, as both the Tao and the Kabbalists have explained it, in Tikkun, or fix or redirect it. We need to redirect the events that we encumber. That's the action. You know, when we encounter an experience, that experience that we're encountering is called co-created, because we in fact created it. We chose even to encounter it. The universe provided it as well. That's why it's called co. And then there's our reaction to it, which is the karmic event out of it. So what happens to it afterward? So this occurs when even souls we encounter by no means are coincidence encounter in our daily lives. It's not a coincidence that you encounter them. This is actually manifested in your own judgments, in your own views, in your own, and mainly because of your choices. And it is co-created before you even been in that little womb or an embryo. And you're also choosing it as you go into walking around. You see a street and you see a corner, you're going to walk toward the corner, but you see the street. I don't want to go to that street. You constantly make choices, even as you're in this embodiment. Some things are chosen that you're going to encounter it no matter what. That's like destiny. So, but it's all involved with karma. So why does one wish a constant retaliation when they come into these encounters? That's the question. I mean, think about it. Souls consistently meeting one to another, and there's a and then there's situations that occur. So let me ask this. Why would one wish a constant retaliation? Why do some simply hate or for another reason love another? It's karma. When we meet those in our lives, whether both brother, sister, mother, father, relatives, friends, bosses, foes, and so on and so on and so on, why? It is karma. In our past lives, we created actions with these souls, and from these souls, we have not yet completed out our healing action, thus we have the re-encounter. And why? What for? What reason? Simply put, the reasoning is really obvious: to clean, heal, fix. By doing this, we ultimately do what? Redirect ourselves by our actions. By redirecting our energies, our actions, is doing what? Cleaning our karma. And cleaning our karma, again, does what? Heals. This healing, cause and effect, does what to our frequency? Increases. As you heal, your chakras, you know, spin faster. You often may have heard this. Your energy vibrates. So your frequency is increasing. When your frequency increases, what happens to your perception? Think about it. If your frequency is increasing so fast, you're able to match up and see more things per second or perceive things in a higher state. This is where when people you see, people who see spirits and they're elevating and they're seeing things beyond that what you see and they're connecting to spiritual things because they put them such a heightened state and they're vibrating so high, and then the people who are lower, they can't really relate to them because they're vibrating such high, so you can't really perceive what they're seeing or even understand them when they communicate them because they're at a higher frequency. Our Earth in itself, and I said this in the past, and not to reiterate, is actually going through a healing process right now. It's part of the cycle, and this is what 2012 is. It's a change of things where actually the frequency of Earth is actually increasing to a point where there's more positive healing energy as opposed to negative. And in the past, it's been more negative. So now, as this increases, it affects what? It affects us as souls. And this is with the struggle. This is the tightness. This is why at this particular junction, we as souls, being in these bodies, have chosen to be at this time, a unreal time, a fortunate time, because we get to experience this swing of pendulum, this change. And this opportunity helps us change in our situations. It's our change and opportunity for what? For fixing our karma, cleaning it in a massive way. We can do light years in 1 year. I mean, literally, we can do a lot in 1 year. I'm actually seeing this from individual I encounter constantly. And others I see just, you know, not wanting to, but I do see a momentum of people trying to do change for the betterment of themselves. This brings out a lot of old issues. I mean, people have miscued things. Like they'll say, oh, I'm awakened, which I've done in the past. Oh, I'm awakened. Because they think they know about Illuminati's or conspiracies, and which has nothing to do about being awakened. Being awakened is waking to your spiritual consciousness and connectedness to all things. And if you start going into the us versus them, then you actually went 2 steps up and 5 steps backward. You know, you became awake and then went back to sleep, thinking you're awake. And then you're telling everybody they're awakened, but you just went back because now you're thinking the same way. You haven't changed. So anyway, think about why in a larger sense, in karma, I remember I talked about this, peoples are at war. So let's say two peoples. Why? Why are like two people, like in the Middle East? Or an example, like why are Arabs and Jews and Arabs, or more specifically Israelis and Palestinians, at constant conflict? Here's the irony about this conflict. And this is an example of karma. And though that souls transfer from one body into another, you know, we often assume our identity by our physical body that we're in, which is true. We have that experience that if you're in a, you know, if you're born in, let's say, a Native American or African American or a Jew or, let's say, Mexican or white Anglo-Saxon Protestant or Catholic, you, as you're born in your own experiences, of course, you're going to have some attachment, this that experience of that life. And the same thing as if you're a female or male, right? So let me get back, going back into the thing about the irony of karma between Jews and Arabs, more specifically, like I said, Israelis and Palestinians. They are both from what origin, which is the irony. They both actually come from Isaac, if you think about it. Not Ishmael, by the way, Palestinians. That's actually wrong. Arabs are more, I mean, they're interbred from Arab, because the Arabs are originally from Ishmael, which is sort of true, but the Adamites, and then I'll get into that. Literally, let me get this. It's like, Jew means from Judea, and Jews are from the tribe of Judah. And who is Judah? Judah is the son, or one of the sons, of Jacob, right? Who, of course, later changed his name to Israel. So literally, Jews are of Israel. Or the son, one of the sons of Israel. Who is Esau? Esau is Jacob's brother. Remember the old story about Esau jealous of Jacob? And Jacob was the younger one. Esau is the forefather of the Palestinians. They're actually literally called Edomites. And this is, I'm just telling you, this is actually a fact. This, they are Edomites. Most of the Palestinians are not from, actually, from Israel area. They're more from Syria area, which is where the Edomites' origin is. This is why they have some common DNA, but they're not absolutely the same DNA points. Now, Esau was actually Jacob's brother, right? Who was, of course, older, yet jealous of his younger brother. And Esau had a constant hatred or jealousy toward his younger Jacob, or Israel. So you catch my drift? Look what's happened now. You have the same constant karma thing. You know, think about when the Jews, you know, in Israel do what they did with the land, and then there's jealousy, and then there's, you know, back and forth, whose land, my land, claim. It's the same cycle. Same to, so it has been a thing of centuries, thousands of years. So in the context of that, it's actually correct. They both displace, but they both are jealous of one another. And the thing is, irony, and this goes into cells. Cells go back and forth and go. So what was a Jew in one lifetime could possibly be a Palestinian next lifetime. Because that's the cycle of karma. Until that cycle is healed, you will become your own enemy because you haven't healed the cycle. When they bury the hatchet, that's when the cycle ends. When the hatred finishes, that's when the cycle ends. So like I said, souls go from one to another in lifetimes. And hell yeah when I say it, because it is what it is. What if I told you that what was, like I said, foes were switching places all the time? You know, think of it. If you were a slave at one time, and then all of a sudden you were a KKK, and then KKK, you know, racist, you became black, for example. You know, there would be a vicious cycle. There is that cycle. What you were, because that creates karma. That is karma events. So often those events cause a circulation of experiences. You become the cause. If you were the raper, then in next lifetime you will become the rapee. And that's really what it is. When people say, hey, what hope if you, that's the cause and effect. That is the cycle. if you are the murderer and then you become the murderee. See what I'm saying? In the reality of the universe, this is the reality of the universe. I mean, and people take perceptions of suffering and things, but in the reality, in the universe, there is no perception, because perception is only your view. In reality of the universe, it just is what it is. There is no perception. There is that's what the truth is. Truth is unchanged, and reality is what you perceive it to be of changing. Because realities change. And in the universe, it's a constant, meaning unchanged. So that's in the reality. So hope that didn't get too deep or too out there, but I hope you catch my drift. Now, what if, like I said, they switch places? Yeah, that's right. And they'll be switching from cycle to cycle, and the foes become reincarnated to ones they were interacted with. And this is a karmic event. This happens, by the way, not just through peoples, but within families and relationships. This is because karma has not yet resolved. And it goes through that consistent cycle over and over and over, never ending, or never seems to end. It won't end until the resolution of hate and anger is displaced with healing, when you're able to move on, heal from it. When you heal from it, you'll have to heal. Otherwise, what happens, you just reincarnate, follow the same cycle, same vicious cycle of karma, cause and effect of negativity. This is the cause and effect of negativity, that cycle that goes around and around, never ends, because you embrace it by being part of it. You've never been able to move away from it. Now, some would say, well, what about the victims? In reality, in our universe, there is no such thing as victim. Yes. I'm telling you this because in reality, in the universe, there is no such thing as a victim. As my late teacher once said, holy teacher, Janae St. Clair, she said, there are no victims, only volunteers. That's right, only volunteers. What's that imply? You volunteer. You chose this life. And they're going, oh, but I think you chose to be raped or be murdered or have this go through this. I says, yes, you did. In reality, in the universe, you made the choice before you came in this body to experience this. Your reaction to it is another choice. Everyone chooses when they come into the body to experience. They may choose not to recognize it, of course. I don't want to believe that I chose this. I'm going to play victim. That is, again, denial and choice. That's a negative, lowering frequency. They will receive that karma experience again until they get it, because they're in denial of it. It is as if their choice, but it is absolutely their choice. All things are chosen. This is what makes us unique. Our souls are unique. This is what differentiates us from the souls of animals, because they don't choose as much as we do. They do choose to some extent, but they have lesser choices. We are more, have the ability to evolve higher realms than even angelic entities, angelic spirit souls, because they don't choose. They are just do one job missions. So what would I say when someone is raped or murdered, or is that by choice? Yes. In the real context of the spiritual universe, it is. I hate to tell you, it is. The person who encountered this for this multiple reason, and there are multiple reasons why they encountered. There's not one limited, because that's why I can't say, oh, it's because of this and this. There is multiple karmic reasons why they encountered it. At the same time, it was by the soul's choice to encounter it. It is the reaction and feeling of this horrible event, in effect, the opportunity to heal from it. Let me put it this way. Imagine being a calf. The calf chose to be the calf. It's eating its little morsels and the little metal, and along comes a tiger who attacks and kills it. Maybe it doesn't even eat it, just bites one bit off its neck, and that's all it needed to eat. So tell me, who was the victim? The calf, you would say, right? But didn't the calf chose to be the calf? Is it the vicious tiger? You would look at him, tiger being evil or bad because it attacked, but the tiger simply did what in its view was the right thing. Again, it's perception. Now, when it comes to humanity at large, we have events that we choose and what happens to them afterward. That is the difference. I mean, when somebody goes and does something like the rape or murder choice, that is also a choice. They can have that feeling of doing that and decide not to do that. When they do that, stop it, they change course in their karma. Get it? They chose not to continue in that course. Just the same as the called victims. That's why it goes on both sides. So they still, it's not like, oh, I have to do it because karma told me I have to go rape and murder. No, they still can choose not to do that encounter. Everything's choice. Even about the things we're experiencing at that moment, we can choose. We can, like, it's like running up to the water. Are you going to go jump into the ocean and swim or not? You can just sit there and watch it. You're at the beach, though. So it's choosing to encounter it. We chose our embodiments. We chose our life direction in every way and form. That is why it's called co-created. Co meaning we have input. So karma is, in fact, the cause and the cause and effect. Our action to the action is the reaction. This reaction creates a new action of reaction. This is the circle. So I know when many of you will ask, what's the point if this is just a cause and effect with all that? What does this mean? It seems like it's never ending. It just continues on and on. It ends by recognizing, by moving on, to healing from it and ultimately detaching from it. When the cycle stops, then it ceases. Let's say, though, one is attacked. What would be your reaction? Would you be angry? Or just turn and not defend yourself? Turning and not defending yourself would be also a karmic reaction too, right? Because then you're not denying yourself, reinforcing your lack of self-worth by not defending yourself. At the same time, would you hold no hate or ill will to those who just perpetrated this thing toward you? See, these thoughts are things, as my late teacher would say, thoughts are things. They are, in fact, a cause too. So if you don't detach yourself, if you don't detach yourself from any dislike during your defense, then you're sitting in motion, you release some karma. So you need to detach yourself from any dislike during your defense, then you will be sending in motion a release of the karma. You will, if you would, and I'd use this word precautiously, victimized by your parent, loved one, or someone you encounter, your reaction is a test of the karma. My late teacher, Jenny Sinclair, once used to say, describe when we enter our bodies, when you enter your life, it's like a paint by numbers. And we choose the pattern by how we color it. And with each encounter of the experience is how we heal, we fix, we redirect, tikkun, our souls as healing, thus weeding out the karma, increasing our frequency. We are increasing our frequency to such a point that eventually, when it's all weeded out, you're sort of like enlightened. The Buddha, as they say, some would say, the Buddha-like, enlightened. Some Christians would call it Christ-like, which I don't like using that because that's like messianic. But that's their way of viewing it. That's fine. Buddha, Sadiq, holy man, whatever words you can relate to. That's when your heightened state is so far beyond that you really don't necessarily have to come back into, you can choose not to come into these lives. You finished that cycle. You've moved on. And examples can go from individual to macro. Like I said, you can choose from your mom. You choose your mom and dad. You choose the experience with the members of your particular family. The family is actually the most tightly held knit karmic circle you can imagine. They've been in lifetime to lifetime with each other. Usually have events, and the reason why they're in their families is because they really haven't fixed their, they haven't healed from their experiences. They are, in fact, life in their, your life, precisely to experience what you experience. And what you experience is the action. Your reaction is to experience is the opportunity to heal, grow, and learn. That is what you're here. You are here to experience the action. And your reaction to the experience is the opportunity to grow, heal, and learn. So if you had an abusive parent, what was your life's reaction to it? If you had experienced a tragedy or some horrid event, what was your reaction to it? If you experienced some violence or poverty situation, what was your reaction to it? If you experienced war, or torment, or imprisonment, or whatever, or hatred, what was your reaction to it? If you experienced discrimination, what was your reaction to it? What if you experienced good fortune, though, wealth to an extreme, perhaps political power? What was your reaction to it? These reactions are the next actions that then produce the reaction, and this is the cycle of karma. When you have healed from that moment of the experience, then the karma wheel spins off and you move on. When you've moved on from the regret, the anger, the disappointment, the frustration, etc., when you have truly let go from the pain within your heart, then that is what is often referred to weeding out, that the karma has been weeded out. This and all karma, whether by individual or peoples or nations or so on, is the choice that we came out of our actions and cycle of the reactions. Thus, the wheel of fortune, the karma, the opportunity, the tikkun, the fix, the heal, the redirect, in essence, to move toward the correct, the re-enlightenment to the enlightened direction, the way, the Tao. We, in fact, as I have said in past shows, are in these bodies to simply do what? Experience. Experience what? Experience the opportunity to heal, gain wisdom, and love. I often reiterate that because it's so imperative that you understand that. We are here to experience the opportunity to heal, gain wisdom, and learn to love. Experience the very moment. Be in the moment. These experiences are opportunities, in fact, to clean up the past karma. That's why you're in these bodies, to clean up. Think of your essence, your body, as a pot of soil, and the weeds are your karma, and they need to be pulled. They are attachments. They're part of your karma as well. And attachments can be things like material things that we think we must have or we assume we cannot live without. People can be attachments as well. When someone passes away, we feel sad, disheartened, normal, because we've lost yet somebody who has passed on. They do not feel detached. Only you do. Well, let me put this. Some still do on this other side. So they try to stay within these realms, and that's where you have these poacher guides and ghost-like areas where they feel attached because they have not moved on. So karma can be beautiful weeds as well, but these too eventually must be cleaned out until the sand, the soil, and our pot is cleaned. When this happens, this again I'm reestablishing and re-explaining, we are Buddha-like, enlightened. We can move on. We can there go choose not to recycle in these same bodies over and over. We can come back and have be, you know, poignant to help others or go into other realms. But as far as this realm, we have more choice not to. But that's only when you finally moved on from these that circle. Some have used karma-like, and I say this valley-type, like. I guess because I've been moved to the valley, like. Back to the valley. In reference to something good as well as including relationships. Like, I'll give you an example. I was going to leave at 8 a.m. this morning. And this didn't really happen. I'm just giving you an explanation of it. So I was going to leave at 8 a.m. this morning. And then suddenly my cat puked all over in my kitchen. For those who don't puke, that means throw up. I left, so I had to clean up the mess. So I couldn't leave till almost 8:30. And when I got in my car and drove around the corner, wow, there was an accident. And if I had left at 8 a.m., right on the time when I was planning to leave, that accident, I would have been in an accident. So in fact, that karma thing that was happened with my cat actually helped me. So think about it. Cause and effect. That's why there's no absolutes on a lot of things. That's why I try to explain certain things at certain points, but there's certain things have certain reasons. This is what commonly happens with us in our daily lives. We tend to live in like a fishbowl and we don't see the outer good because the universe actually isn't perfect in every way. We see things with our own perspectives, within our own things, and so we have our own little egotistical things, part of it, saying, oh, my world. We don't see the greater thing, what's really going on. Now, let's say you met somebody special. That is like karma, like I said. And there's a karmic reason for your encounter. Your experience them and the choices you make during that them are a reaction. This is in reality a karma, but it's a positive karma. Eventually you move on that from that too, I hate to tell you. But it's good. It's a healing process. It's from past lives. It may be just to be in the moment, learning to learn to love. And raising your helping each other heal each other. In this realm of the multiverse, like I said, where everything is a symbiotic reactions and relationships occur, all is karma because all is cause and effect and thus is the wheel. Yes. In another realm, there is no karma or cause and effect. That is when you go beyond and beyond. It's when you not in need to be in this, you know, this realm that we see is 5D. Five dimensions. Some people say 3D. I just say 5D because there's actually 5D. So yes, karma can be good for a positive perception. But in reality of the universe, perception is subject to the viewer of the observer, like I had said. Thus, karma is simply, when I say this, is cleaning up. It is cleaning up the attachments, all attachments. We are basically cleaning up our garden, being good, as some might say, a cultivator. You know, and there are certain things some people say you're supposed to do. Like good deeds, momentary deeds, like helping people learn things, learning truth, expanding stuff. Gaining wisdom, meditation, perseverance, assiduity, donation, things like that. These elements help people move forward. Those are like six principles, some people say. Three foundations of righteousness, which are a lot more simpler to get to, is basically learning to love, having unconditional love. That's healing yourself. Having unconditional love is actually, that's actually literally connecting to your karma and healing from your karma. Having a gratitude for your experiences, being thankful, you know, whatever it is, that's having that understanding, that graciousness. It's called reverence. And this petition is what you act upon by doing, you know, whether it's prayer, meditation, doing something outside, good deeds, not just physical deeds and helping the grandmother across the street, but also meritorious deeds, like helping somebody in a spiritual way. You know, helping somebody who's lesser than you, let's say, I don't mean lesser, like they're less than you, but their vibration is a lower frequency. Helping them up further, or giving them opportunity, or allowing them to see things. Not standing on a Sermon on the Mountain and doing that, but just, you know, there's different ways of doing it. Karma is then what, though? Karma, again, is in reality, it's by your choice. So what we do is by choice. So, I hope everyone out there, if you have any questions, feel free to contact me at flyingpigs@artlover.com. It's up there on my website. And if you have any question about or proposal for other ideas for my shows, I'm always open-minded, listening to every comment. That's how I actually decide on certain things to do, is based upon you more than me, obviously. It's what you want to have questions from people, different peoples. And also, people, if you have, want to come on my show, I'm always open to people coming on my show. Like I said, I'm highly selective of who comes on. And this is not to discourage, but actually enhance. So that means you may have something more unique. So don't be afraid to disclose that to me, and I'd be happy to have you on as well. You don't have to have a special name or special this. Like I said, I look for people who truly want to disclose information, and if it happens to help them out, benefit them, in some financial way, that's secondary, but that, I understand that. But if you're an author or whatever, that's fine as well. Or if you simply want to have information that you're very close to and want to relate, feel free to contact me at flyingpigs@artlover.com, and I'll look into it, and I always... like 80% of it is directly to me, not indirectly. If it comes from my producer, I usually just delete. I hate to tell you, or after reading it, but if it's directly to me, I will read it and respond to it. So again, I want to thank you all out there for listening. It's been 5 very uplifting years. Call it karma, healing. And with that, I hope to do another 5 years on the show at BBS Radio. I understand they're going to be expanding different things. I will be doing other events, and I will notify you of that. I am tentatively, and nothing's been set yet, I'm doing a special event here in Los Angeles, possibly doing a book signing event. I will tell you when and where, and that's supposed to be in March. And then also, I'm supposed to be doing a speaking engagement in Ventura County, and I will let you all know about that as well. That's all tentative, so when I have the secure dates and times, I'll surely post that on my websites and also disclose that during my show. And thank you again for listening in. God bless you all, and have a glorious, glorious weekend. Love and light to you all, and God bless you, and thank you once again for listening. Thank you.